Welcome to Breaking It Down with D'Anthony, with your host, Devin Anthony. Welcome to the latest edition of Breaking It Down with D'Anthony. We got a great show for you guys today. I have my friend Neil on the show today, a big Lakers fan like myself, and we're going to get in a little bit of college football today, talk about some NFL, you know, only 4 weeks left until playoffs, and of course, the NBA, the in-season tournament, and where the league's headed. So we got Neil today. Neil, introduce yourself.
Hey, what's up? I'm Neil. Like you said, big Lakers fan, so yeah, let's get into it.
And a big Cowboys fan too, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
So first matchup, we got Michigan versus Alabama in the Rose Bowl. First game for the college football playoff on New Year's Day, January 1st. And I'm surprised the line opened up at Michigan minus one with the over and under 45.5. The over and under doesn't necessarily surprise me. I do think this is going to be a little more of a defensive game than Texas Washington will, but what is sort of your two picks there?
I like Alabama in this one, and I do think it does go over. It just comes down to, you know, will Alabama be able to stop the run for Michigan? And yeah, it's a big game for Michigan. They get Harbaugh back, so yeah, it'll be exciting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for Michigan. You know, obviously, they had a very credible win against Ohio State, and there's a reason they're the number one team in the country. This is the first time they've done so in the college football playoff era. But they haven't really faced a strong running QB, I feel like, all year. You know, Maryland definitely gave them a test, and I feel like, you know, Tua's brother was, you know, he kind of did have that more dynamic feel, and they gave Michigan a run for their money. That came down to the last few minutes there. So I think that Michigan defense, as good as their secondary is, and they definitely do have a solid defensive line, I don't think they've faced necessarily a powerhouse like Alabama yet, and that's no discredit to Ohio State, but I just don't think, you know, Kyle McCord has the weapons in his bag that Jalen Milroe has. So I think it's going to be tough, you know, having to stop the run, because not only, you know, are you worried about the secondary and their and Alabama's great options out wide, but then you're gonna have a spy on Milroe as well. So I think Saban's gonna have a lot on his back pocket that Michigan hasn't really seen yet, and I think it's definitely gonna be a tough test for them. And with you, you know, I don't want to go for Bama, just because I feel like Michigan's so solid, and I still want to give Michigan the upper hand here. But Bama's a team rolling with momentum and confidence, and I think it's going to be a great game. And honestly, I probably have Michigan winning by three.
Well, Milroe just keeps playing better and better as the season goes on. You know, in the beginning, they weren't really set on a quarterback, but ever since he got that starter role, he's been rolling and he hasn't slowed down at all. So it'd be interesting for sure.
Yeah, and I think it was so weird to see, like, it's crazy. We've never seen this sort of insane progression from a quarterback, I feel like, in the last few years, where, you know, he's found himself on the bench in week three after an abysmal performance against Texas. And now, you know, if he'd been playing like this the whole season, he would have been right there in New York last week at the Heisman show as well. So, you know, credit to Texas for going there week two and knocking off Bama and getting a huge upset win. That honestly is probably a big reason why they're in the college football playoff now. But that Texas team week two, I feel like, is also a different team than they are now, especially like Bama is. And, you know, you have Texas going in without, you know, their great running back, Jonathan Brooks. You know, they've had other guys step up. They've had elite freshman CJ Baxter step in, but, I think Texas coming out with that minus four line is, I feel like, it's a bit extreme. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's definitely extreme. These are two, you know, high powered offense with not the greatest defenses to back that up, and I think it's going to be a shootout. I do think minus four is a bit much for Texas, but yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like the over under 63.5. That's probably a little bit more fair than that line in the Michigan Bama game. I feel like that. I don't know. I don't feel like 45.5 is necessarily reasonable there. I feel like that might go a little bit over. But I think that 63.5 is perfect. And I think that's a tough call to make. I personally would probably go with the over, just because it is going to feel like a very much Big 12 versus Pac 12 game. You have elite offenses, West Coast offenses that are going to run up the score. You know, you have Washington with arguably the best receiving core in the country with the Heisman finalist and Michael Penix Jr. I think they're going to give Texas a run for their money, and I think they go into this again as an underdog, even though they're undefeated and they're number two seed. You know, they came in as a 10-point underdog against Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game, and they proved everybody wrong. So You know, biased as a Texas fan, I am gonna take Texas here. I'm gonna take Texas by 6. I think what's gonna come down to is whoever has the ball at the end, just because I do think it's gonna be a shootout. But I think Quinn Ewers is gonna pull through. He's a great receiving core himself with Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell, Jordan Whittington. And I think if that Texas secondary could just try to hold up, try to stop Penix at that defensive line led by Tavondre Sweat can get to Penix, I think they're going to be right there.
Yeah, I probably have Washington in this one just because of how they ran the ball against Oregon in that Pac-12 game. I think if they come out running the ball like that again against Texas, I think it'll be, like you said, last person to have the ball. So they're going to want to take as much time off the clock as they can each possession. Both teams are going to try and do that. So I do have Washington.
Yeah, and I think Washington, I think, wins. If that's what happens, if there's 3 minutes left and Texas is up one and Penix has the ball in their hand, I think they can get down the field and score just the same thing we saw, how the Texas secondary absolutely collapsed against OU in the Red River rivalry back in October. So I think this is honestly, in my recent – honestly, obviously last year was great with those two semifinals, but I think this year is going to be even better. I think they're going to be super close games, and this is why I do. It's a ballsy move from the committee to leave out Florida State, but I think in this situation, you look at these two incredible matchups, it's probably the right call. And so, how did you feel about them leaving Florida State out of that top four?
I definitely agree with you there. Florida State did nothing wrong to not get in, but I think when it comes down to it, you want the four best teams in the country, and Florida State just wasn't one of those teams. This would have been the perfect year for the expanded playoff, but it just didn't play out that way. And I really like what they did, keeping them out, because it just keeps a competitive playoff. We don't have what happened last year, potentially to happen again this year with TCU. So we don't want blowout games. We want close games. And that's what the committee decided on. And I agree with it 100%.
Yeah. And I remember a few years, everyone calling for UCF undefeated team. They should be in the playoff. And then Cincinnati ended up going undefeated and they made the playoff and then got absolutely rolled. So I think, the committee's tried both ways and, with TCU getting blown out and Cincinnati getting blown out, I just don't think they wanted to repeat that. And so I think, is Rodemaker probably going to come back? Yes. But is he still a backup quarterback? Yes. And Florida State's defense, honestly, is the reason that they're undefeated, as we saw in the ACC championship game against Louisville. But I just don't think, when you put them against Bama, I think, for Bama's resume to, for their only, obviously, yeah, is that I wouldn't say it's a bad loss at home. Obviously, they still lost at home to a Texas team early on, but I think how the committee looked at it is, they're a team that's grown since then. And obviously, the Auburn win wasn't emphatic. It came down to the last few seconds there, but I think, going off recent, recency and that bias, I think the committee was looking at it. You can't not take a team. Based on the success the SEC has had in the last few years in the college football playoff and how great that win was in that conference championship game against Georgia, I think it's really hard for them to leave out Alabama.
Yeah, the SEC champ will never be left out of the college football playoff, and it wasn't going to happen this year. Alabama and Georgia probably 1 and 2 for the best teams in the country, and they had to kick it. It was hard enough for them to keep Georgia out. They're not going to keep Georgia and Bama out for FSU.
Yeah, I 100% agree. But I think we're going to have two incredible matchups there. I can't wait. I got Michigan-Texas. Sounds like you've got Bama-Washington. So we'll see what happens there. And I think no matter what, we're going to have a great national championship as well in Houston. Next up on the show today, we're going to talk a little NBA, a little in-season tournament. The in-season tournament was incredible. I think it was – not everyone's going to agree with me, but I think it was a great call from Adam Silver to introduce us to the league. It felt like they were kind of replicating – what they have in England or Spain for soccer, where they have these, the FA Cup or the League's Cup, they have these different tournaments throughout the season that keeps it more competitive. And I think it's great for the NBA in terms of getting better viewership, for it to be more entertaining in these kind of lackadaisical months in December and January where the viewership's kind of down. It makes it more competitive. So I thought it was great for the league, just looking at how competitive these games were, how much these teams cared about point differential, and how into it the crowd was in those last few games there. So, based on just what you saw from its first year, and it wasn't going to be perfect, what did you think about the in-season tournament?
I loved it. I think, they took a creative side to it. having it in Vegas and everything and combining the two broadcasts, it was a great watch. You know, it was everything you could hope for. And I really don't think there's anything they can improve on for the NCAA tournament. I think they came out and did it perfectly first year, and I think it's here to stay for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I like that they still had a count towards, you know, the regular season record. I think that was a big part of it. And honestly, like watching those quarterfinals, semifinals, I remember watching that Pacers game where Haliburton went off at home and the crowd was really into it, and the Kings crowd light the beam. They had a pretty good run. And honestly felt like that final game, I was there in Vegas, it didn't feel like it had, like the atmosphere, you know, was as into it as they were in the other games. And honestly, I was like, yeah, it counts for in-season tournament championship, and it's going to matter in a few years. But I feel like now it's like it didn't count toward the regular season. It wasn't in a home venue. It was a neutral venue. So I think – I don't know what they're going to have to do to sort of – I mean, obviously everyone cares about the championship, and it's going to matter more in the next few years. But I just don't know what they're going to do to sort of make that more entertaining. And it was a great game, don't get me wrong, but it didn't really feel like the atmosphere in the arena was there that it was in the few games before.
Maybe they could take the route of adding more teams to go to Vegas. I don't really know what they could do, but I really enjoyed it from, you know, watching it on TV. I wasn't there, but from on TV, it was a great, it looked like a good atmosphere.
Yeah, and I love the courts. That was a great idea. Obviously, I think they could make some improvements with the jerseys. You know, we're both Lakers fans, and I want to get your thoughts. It sounds like the Lakers are going to hang the banner for their in-season tournament championship. How do you feel about that?
I'm not sold on that, you know, especially with being as historical of a franchise as the Lakers are. You know, you got all those championship banners hanging from, you know, the roof, and then you're going to add an in-season tournament one. It just doesn't seem like it fits in. Maybe a smaller team that doesn't have many championships, it wouldn't matter as much, but I'm not really sold on it.
Yeah, I mean, if it was like the Clippers, everyone's joking on Twitter, like for sure they would have hung it. That'd be a big accomplishment for them. But I think for a franchise, I agree with you, that has 17 NBA titles, like, yeah, do you want to honor it? But I don't necessarily know if that deserves to be up in the rafters with all those historic championships and numbers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah.
I mean, LeBron winning MVP, you know, it wasn't for the last game itself. Obviously, it would have gone to Anthony Davis, but it was for the tournament as a whole. I think it's a great testament to who he is as a player. You know, he's about to turn 39 soon. And for him to take that on his back and say, look, NBA, like, I'm going to take this seriously. I'm going to make these games entertaining. I'm going to bring it all to the court every night for these in-season tournament games. I think it was great for the league. And, you know, arguably LeBron's been the face of the league for the last few years. So even few decades. So I think that was great for the league. I think it's first year. There's obviously a lot of uncertainty and doubt, but I think overall people were super accepting of it as the tournament went on. And I think this is something that's going to be great for the league for future years to come.
Yeah, and it seemed like Bron was the only, you know, face of the league, you know, out of, you know, Curry, Giannis, LeBron, Tatum, that took it serious, you know, that went out there and was, you know, very vocal about how serious the tournament was and even promising the younger players that they were going to win it. I think as years go on, more and more players will take it serious and more people will be more vocal about it, these players, and it'll draw even more attraction to it, and it'll be even more fun to watch.
Yeah, 100% agree. We're going to do a little letter grades here now, so we'll go back and forth here, and I'll start with the Clippers so far. So kind of a rough season to start for them. I'm going to give them right now, probably going to give them a B-. You know, if it wasn't for this recent run, you know, they've got hot here towards in December and towards the end of November, and you know, they strung together some good wins, including a great win against the Warriors last night at home. I think it was going to be tough for, you know, for them to bring in Harden. He didn't have training camp with them. He didn't really get to know the system, so of course it was going to be rough at first, and a lot of people were downing that. But I think they've bounced back really, really nicely, and I think they're going to be a hard team to beat in the postseason. So I'll give it to you now for the Lakers.
So for the Lakers, I have a B+. I think that in-season tournament was a huge thing to keep the season going. The only negative I have on the Lakers is they're still relying on Bron a lot. Until recently with AD, you know, past five games with AD have been great. But if the Lakers can move off relying on LeBron so much, I think the team can only get better.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so I got the Warriors now, and I mean, realistically, I want to give them an F, but it could be worse. I'm gonna give them a D. it's been poor. And I was thinking about this last night, you know, what happened? They were such a great dynasty, you know, since 2014, 2015, and there's been no sort of falter besides that one year when Clay went down and they were knocked out of the playoffs, not even the playoffs, but the play-in against the Grizzlies. And honestly, this doesn't even feel like that sort of year. It feels like they're probably not even going to make the play-in. They're out of the picture right now. You know, they're below 500. They're struggling. It doesn't really seem like they have a defensive identity. And yes, that has a lot to do with Draymond Green and all his antics and him being suspended indefinitely, but it doesn't feel like, you know, the Warriors are bringing any real energy to the court some nights. And, you know, Clay can go for 30, but then Steph doesn't have a good game, or Steph has a good game and then Clay doesn't. And, you know, Wiggins has been below average this year. And I think it's just a really poor place for this Warriors team right now, you know, with their GM Bob Myers leaving as well. It didn't seem like they really improved at all over the offseason. They got younger. They got more inexperience. So I think this is a Warriors team that is most definitely heading in the wrong direction, and I don't really see any hope for them for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So for the Suns, I gave them a C+. You know, they've been plagued with injuries to start the season, and these past 10 games they've been a 500 team, but you know, even their first game altogether, they lose, right? With their big three, they lose. So they need to figure it out. They definitely have the roster to make a run in the playoffs. Definitely have playmakers and shooters that can lead them deep into the playoffs. But right now, I have them at C+.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think they're a team that actually has hope, and they could head in the right direction if they stay healthy. I think it's going to be a similar situation to the Nets with, you know, KD, Kyrie, and Harden a few years ago. If they can't stay healthy, one of those guys are down in the postseason, they're just not going to have the depth to do it and make a deep postseason run. So next up, we got the Wolves, top of the Western Conference. They've been incredible this year. They've honestly been probably, maybe besides the Magic, we'll get into that a little bit, the most surprising team in the NBA this year. But something I noticed is that, you know, they have young leadership with Anthony Edwards performing incredibly each night. And they also have size. You know, you have Gobert, who is right there for Defensive Player of the Year. You have Cat, who looks like he's, you know, towards the top of his game right now. You have a big man in Naz Reid, who can pretty much shoot from anywhere and is good for them defensively. So it just feels like they're a really well-rounded team, and they have size, which is a lot of, you know, which is something that a lot of these Western Conference teams lack. You know, they have the flair, they have the versatility, but I think the Wolves are going to be a tough team to come up against. Do I see them making a deep postseason run? Probably not, just because I don't think they have the experience they need, you know, to maybe make a Western Conference final, even a final. But I think, you know, as a regular season team, this is a great run for them. I think they're going to keep going.
So next. Yeah, I agree. So for the Nuggets, I have an A team grade. They're still the best team in the NBA. You know, they've had a little rough stretch here these past 10 games, but they still have Jokic, Murray, Porter. They still have, you know, all of these guys are going to step up in the playoffs. And as a Lakers fan, seeing what they did to us last year, it's just they're going to continue to do that to teams throughout the year. So, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And so next up, I got the Magic. How do you not give these guys an A+? I mean, they've been incredible. They're a young team. They don't have a lot of experience, but they're deep. You know, they have some veteran presence in Joe Ingles. But I think Banchero's been incredible. Franz Wagner's been incredible. Cole Anthony's had a few good games. And for them to be sitting at third in the Eastern Conference right now at 16-7, I don't think anyone saw coming. In the offseason, before the season started. So, I mean, fully credit to them and them building a true Magic culture over there that we haven't seen since Dwight Howard days. So I'm happy for this franchise that has been pretty poor for the last decade. You know, they have a lot of promise ahead, you know, very similar to how this Thunder team is looking in the Western Conference. I think they're both going to be great young teams the next few years. And like kind of like the Wolves, do I see them making a deep postseason run? No, but, you know, credit to them for a great start to the season so far. And again, I also see them continuing this through the rest of the season.
Yeah, agree 100%. So for the Bucks, I have an A. Giannis is playing unbelievable basketball. You know, the other night he had his career high, 64, I believe. And then Lillard is really stepping up into the role that he's going to play for the rest of the season. And I just think it's very similar to Denver in the West. It's just, I don't really see a team that they can lose to in the long run just because of how good of a team they are, how deep they are. It's just, I think they're 1-2 for Denver and Bucks being the best team in the NBA.
100%. I honestly don't see how the two of them don't end up in the NBA Finals. It just feels like they're going to be the deepest teams. And in the postseason, that they're going to have the most leadership. They have the best stars in the game. So, yeah, I think that'd be a great finals matchup. I know we're nowhere close to that yet, but I think that would definitely be an incredible matchup. So I got the Celtics. I'll probably give them an A-. I mean, they've been incredible at home. They have the best home record in the league. They haven't lost yet. They're 12-0. So credit to them and Joe Mazzulla for getting his guys ready over the offseason. But the thing that kind of scares me about the Celtics is, yes, do they have a great 6-7 man rotation? Yes. But if one or two of those guys goes down, they don't really have a deep bench they can go into in the postseason the way the Heat have done in the last few years. So I don't think it's going to be enough for them to beat the Bucks in the postseason. But, I mean, if they can stay healthy, they'll be right there as well.
Yeah. So for the Bulls, I have a D. They need to get someone out of there. They need to get a new look. They need to trade somebody. There's always rumors with LaVine and Caruso and even DeRozan being traded these last couple of years. But it really needs to happen if they want to turn their season around at all. They've been a very bad team. Recently, they've won a little bit. It's just a bad team, I feel like.
Yeah, and on paper they look great, which is surprising. You know, you have a great center in Vucevic. Kobe White's been playing really well lately. You know, obviously DeRozan, his veteran leadership and presence. Zach LaVine, you know, who's going to give you at least 20 a night. So on paper, Alex Caruso, great. You know, perimeter defender. It seems like they'd be a really good team. Like they would be above 500, and they find themselves 10-16. So you know, I don't think it's over for them yet, but I think there's going to have to be a huge culture change there, and I just don't really see how that's gonna happen to get them into the postseason. So next up we got the 76ers. I'll probably give them an A- as well. I think, you know, big credit to them for what they've done, to change that around, you know, sending out Harden and really, you know, starting to build that culture there again in the city of brotherly love. I think Maxey's got to stay consistent. He kind of had an off game the other night, only 9 points. I know he's still trying to recover. Embiid's been incredible. He'll be right there again for the MVP race. I just don't see them being a better team than the Celtics or the Bucks, though. I think they'll be right there, and Embiid is definitely that guy for them. But I don't think they're going to be deep enough in the postseason to, you know, probably make an Eastern Conference Final. And so last up, we got the Heat. So, to you know, finish that up for us, Neil.
Yeah, so I was stuck between a B- and a C+ for the Heat. You know, I think the reason I'm stuck between that is because in the long run, the Heat always make it up there these past couple of years. You know, Jimmy Butler always, you know, taking control of the team late in the year. But right now, they have a lot of injuries they're dealing with right now. And I don't know if the team can stay healthy or get healthy to make a long playoff run. So it'll be interesting to see for sure. But yeah.
I mean, they know what it takes. And, you know, they got to the finals last year. They got to the finals in the bubble. Eastern Conference Finals a few years ago. So I think they just got to make it, and I think if they're healthy, they'll be right there. But you know, Jaime Hawkins has been a great add for them. You know, honestly, I think the steal of the draft so far. But yeah, I think they'll be right there. I just don't think it's as deep as the East is this year. I don't think it's going to be enough in the postseason towards the end there. To wrap up the show today, thank you again, and Neil for your time. To wrap up the show today, we got. You know, we got to talk about these tight NFL playoff races. You know, we only 4 weeks to go, as I said earlier in the show. It's been a great season so far. I don't think there's really a clear favorite this year. The Chiefs definitely don't look like the favorite this year, which has been, you know, not the way the league has gone the last few years. So I think that's super exciting for the NFL, and it's made it very entertaining this year. But we're going to go into another little segment here called more impressive, more underwhelming, and overrated, underrated. So start with more impressive. Joe Flacco or Jake Browning? What do you think?
I chose Browning just because that win against the Jags was a huge win, and he lit up. You know, he's throwing for 300 yards. He's not, you know, just barely staying in there for a win. He's leading his team to a win. Flacco was impressive. I just think Browning was just a little bit more impressive.
I think Flacco is more impressive just because he wasn't really around that team. You know, they just elevated him off the practice squad this week. This is now the Browns' fourth different starting quarterback this year. They've had to change their system a lot, and it seems like with Flacco, they're definitely becoming more dependent on the passing game more than they were with Dorian Thompson-Robinson and P.J. Walker, and obviously Deshaun Watson, they were relying on the passing game. I think they're kind of going back to that with Flacco. You know, he's still got an arm. He's still showing he can do it in his late 30s. And I think for him to come in and show that veteran leadership and just take it one day at a time, I think it's been very impressive. And they're going to be, I think if they stay healthy, the rest of those pieces, they, you know, they might get past the wild card there in the AFC. So next up, we got Purdy or Dak. I know you might answer this a little bit biased, but let's hear it.
I have for both. I'm not trying to be biased, but Dak is playing his best ball ever. You know, he's up there in the MVP candidate, which he hasn't been in a very long time. But I do think Purdy is emerging out of that game manager type of, like, role, name people throw on him. You know, he gets hated on because he has such a good offense, but he's doing nothing wrong. You know, he's a high completion percentage. He leads the league in completion percentage, I believe. So it's just he's doing what he needs to, but I still think Dak is a little bit more impressive this year.
Yeah, I honestly got to agree with that one. And as good as Purdy's been, and that's no discredit to him, as you said, I don't think anyone can really label him as a system quarterback anymore. He's been winning them big games for them, especially that win against Philly on the road. It's not easy to do and come in there and, you know, put over 40 points on the board. So, you know, not any discredit to Purdy. He's been amazing. But I think, you know, especially when we're looking towards this MVP race at the end, if Dak, you know, if the Cowboys can win out, maybe just lose one, and Dak, he's playing well, he's gonna be right there. I don't know why he can't make a case for himself. This feels like the first year in a while he's had true confidence. The fan base has true confidence in him. You know, him and CeeDee Lamb just seem to be on the same page at all times. You know, Ferguson's been a great pickup for them. He's been a great option. So I think this Cowboys team is dangerous. And I think, you know, at the beginning of the season, for anyone to say that the Cowboys are going to be better than the Eagles, you'd probably turn a few heads. But now I think simply the Cowboys are better than the Eagles.
Yeah, you know, as a Cowboys fan, I still hesitate to, you know, say playoffs or long run just because I've been disappointed so many times. But this year does feel like the most complete we've been since maybe 2014. It's just a great team, and Dak is leading the team for sure.
Yeah. All right, and so for this last question, for more impressive with the Steelers being 7-6 or the Vikings being 7-6?
So I chose the Vikings just because they started off 0-3, and they had their best quarterback or their starting quarterback go down, and then the best receiver in the NFL go down. And they're still finding ways to win, being 7-3 since that 0-3 start.
Yeah, and that's, you know, credit to their defense. They've kept them in a lot of big games. You know, I know Josh Dobbs is not, he's not starting this week. They got Mullins coming in. But Dobbs, I think, was really professional. He came in, got him a big win on the road against, I think it was at home or on the road against the Falcons?
Might've been at home.
Yeah, I forget. So he came in, he was incredible. And yeah, has it kind of declined? Yes, but I think he's still put the Vikings in a position to make the postseason. You know, got them some big wins there. Absolute credit to their defense there. It feels like the Steelers have kind of just been getting by. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they don't even make the playoffs. You know, with injury concerns for Pickett, I don't really trust Trubisky that much. You know, the run game is kind of questionable. They don't really know to go to between Najee and Warren. Again, their defense has kept them in a lot of big games. I think the Vikings being 7-6 is definitely more impressive, especially with Cousins being out so early and not really having Justin Jefferson as an option there too. So, I mean, for them to go into Vegas and not even let up a single point, and for them, you know, to now be above 500, I think that's definitely more impressive. So on the other side now, we got who has been more underwhelming, the Chiefs' offense or the Dolphins' inability to win big games?
I think it's Miami. They don't have one good win yet. And, you know, they get beat by every remotely good team, and they've been bad losses too. I do think I'm not saying they'll never win a big game, but right now I have Miami not winning big games being more underwhelming.
Yeah, I'm actually going to disagree with you on that. I think, you know, for the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, and it's come in again probably as a big favorite, and now I don't think they're in that direction at all. You know, they another pretty – bad. I wouldn't say it's a bad loss, but you know it came pretty close down to the wire there. But that's a Chiefs team against the Bills at home. That's probably winning that game the last few years that they didn't. That they let go away from them, especially and the loss against the Packers on the road. Their offense just looks lost, and I think no one really knows who to turn to right now. Andy Reid looks a little bit lost. Mahomes looks a little bit lost. You know, Pacheco's has some injury issues now, as well as great as he's been playing this year, and it seems like they've kind of turned more to that run, and which is just not their offense. It's not their style, and so I think both the Dolphins and the Chiefs are going to be in trouble here in the postseason, especially when they come up against a really solid deep Ravens team. And Miami's so interesting because yes, they have that flair, they have that offensive power, but then they can go into a game against Tennessee and just completely blow it. So I think for them, once they start coming up against these really good teams in the postseason, that's definitely a concern for them. And yes, will the Chiefs' experience come into play? But again, that offense just looks lost. So I think the Chiefs have probably been more underwhelming. More underwhelming, Jets coaching or Chargers coaching? Well, now Chargers' lack of coaching.
Yeah, when I was doing this last night, I was like, there's no way he's going to have a job tomorrow morning. I for sure think Chargers coaching is definitely more underwhelming. The way he's, you know, his attitude has been towards the media, the way he's been coaching, it's just terrible. And, you know, Herbert was that glue that was holding the team together, barely. And we saw what happened last night when he wasn't there. So definitely Chargers coaching.
Yeah, and on paper, they should be a team that probably should be over 500. And now they find themselves way below that. And so in a really, really bad loss against the Raiders on Thursday Night Football. And I think what Staley's done there has been, I wouldn't even say underwhelming. It's probably worse than underwhelming. Just absolutely abysmal for a franchise with high expectations, with a great team, with a great defense, with a great high-powered offense. And I think rightfully he got the boot last night. Honestly, like I want to talk about the Jets coaching just because like I just think that they haven't been professional about it throughout the year. I think, you know, the speculation of Aaron Rodgers coming back, that should have never even reached the news and the media. I think that kind of set off, you know, created some confusion and drama in the locker room about, you know, if he's coming back, do we have to win games now? Like, that should have never even been talked about. And yes, great if he could have came back and it would have surprised the whole world. But I don't think it never should have even been speculated or reached the surface of the media. And I think the way they've handled the quarterback room, you know, with benching Zach Wilson for a little bit there, to, you know, putting in Boyle and now going back to Zach Wilson, like, there's just been a lot of inconsistency and unprofessionalism that I didn't really expect from a guy who seems super professional like Robert Saleh. But I mean, I guess they're turning around now. Had a big home win against Texans. With Zach Wilson probably playing the best game of his career so far. So I think that's encouraging for the Jets. But I think that kind of terrible midseason form where they dropped four or five games in a row. Is it as bad as the Chargers? No. Are they heading in the right direction? Yes. But it's definitely worth mentioning how underwhelming that's been this year.
Yeah, and like the ability to not back your quarterback that the Jets are showing. I mean, I don't understand how you're not going to stand behind your quarterback for multiple weeks in a row. It's just been Zach Wilson's been thrown under the bus. So, yeah, but I think with that performance against the Texans, I think it'll all even out now, and they'll have confidence in him going forward.
And to finish the show today, we got overrated or underrated. So let's start off with the Eagles. What do you think, overrated or underrated?
So I said the Eagles were slightly overrated just because their win differential is 21 points. That is not good over a 10-3 record over 13 weeks. So you have them overrated.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think we wouldn't be saying this a few weeks ago, but again, they have won – you know, a lot of games very close, you know, barely beat a pretty bad Commanders team on the road by a few points. Obviously, they lost to the Jets on the road, which everyone viewed as a pretty bad loss at the time. And yeah, are they 10-3? Yes, but I don't think they should be 10-3. I think their team has got a little bit cocky here towards the end. And I think that's shown with, you know, with the loss where they got exposed against the Cowboys on the road. So is there still hope for them? Of course. And I think they're going to be right there in the postseason. But I think right now they might be a little bit overrated. Next up, we got the Lions. What do you think?
I think they're a little bit overrated. The Bears lost, the Packers lost, and they're really close to that Chargers game. I think at the beginning of the year, they were like the fan favorite coming out and beating the Chiefs like that. But ever since then, it's been on a very slow decline, and I think it's going to continue to decline as the season goes on.
Yeah, and that Chiefs game feels like ages ago. That feels like five seasons ago, and it feels like a completely different Lions team now that honestly looks a little bit lost. And I think that, similar to the Chiefs, the offense has got worse throughout the year, and I don't think they're going to have the experience they need come postseason time. Next up, we got the Ravens. Overrated or underrated?
I think they're still a little underrated. They're a great football team, and they have everything now. You know, Lamar has weapons to throw to, and the defense is very good.
Yeah, I agree with you there, and They've been incredible this year. Lamar Jackson's finally stayed healthy, you know, knock on wood there that he's going to finish the season with full health. And I think the problem with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson as the head of the realm there, no one's really going to give them credit until they make a great postseason run. And they haven't been able to do that in the opportunities they've had in the last few years. And yes, this is probably the best chance they have this year. They're an incredible team and they're going to be right there. But I don't think it's really safe to make a call there until we see like if they can actually prove themselves in the postseason. We got Green Bay, overrated or underrated?
I think they're a little underrated. I think Love has stepped into the starting role and he has a lot of confidence with it. Also, you know, that receiving core is surprisingly good, you know, with that very young offense that they're making plays out there for Love. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're underrated. I think they're gonna be right. They're probably gonna make a postseason push here. I think they'll probably make it. They got a great young core that's just got better throughout the season. I think, you know, they've shown glimpses of greatness, and also they've had some pretty bad moments as well. But I think these last few weeks they've really turned it around. And yes, well, you know, was that a rough loss against the Giants on the road? Sure, but I think, you know, Tommy DeVito's kind of is on his little Linsanity run right now. And I think, you know, Monday Night Football at home, there's no team that was going to beat them. So I think the Packers will probably definitely come back from that, especially in an NFC race with, you know, the Vikings. I don't really see them making the postseason. The Rams will be right there as well, but the Green Bay's got the edge over there, I think. So speaking of the Rams, to wrap up the show today, overrated or underrated?
I have them as underrated too. You know, these last couple weeks, they took down Seattle, they took down the Cardinals, they killed the Browns, and they kept it really close to the Ravens. And I think this is a team that doesn't have a great chance to make a postseason push, but I think they'll be right there on the edge the whole time.
Yeah, and I think Puka's come in, he's been great. You know, Kyron Williams coming off injury, he's been great the last few weeks. Stafford's been slinging it again. He finally looks like his true healthy self. You know, Cup's finally starting to find his form again. The defense wasn't great against Baltimore, but they've also shown glimpses of greatness. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or not. I'd like to think they will. It's because Minnesota will drop out. But I think full credit to what that coaching staff has done there to turn their season around. And I think they're probably an underrated team so far in the NFL this year. So thank you so much, Neil, for coming on the show today. That's all we got for you guys, and we'll see you next time. Thank you, Neil.